Bonjour. Hello, everyone. I'm Nata, host of the Nata PR School podcast. You're a successful entrepreneur or marketing manager, and you're about to launch a new product or service, or you've been selling your goods for quite some time, but you want to learn how to increase your visibility, get known, and reach more clients? At Nata PR, we deal with real clients every day, and we'll teach you simple, fun, and honest PR solutions. You'll learn easy steps to combine PR to social media right now. Keep listening and let's get started. Bonjour, hello, and welcome to the 75th episode of the Nata PR School podcast. For this 75th episode, I'm thrilled to welcome Stéphane Leduc, fashion journalist host, co-founder of the magazine Dress to Kill. He has been a sponsor and a conference host for an amazing event called the Fashion and Design Festival in Montreal since 2014. He teaches at the University of Quebec and at the ProMedia School. As a journalist, Stéphane has attended any amazing, huge international fashion shows from any international brands that might cross your mind, from Chanel to Gaultier to Louis Vuitton. I would bet on it. I'm sure he's seen them all, not all from each brand, obviously from each houses, but he's attended all these amazing shows. He's so lucky. And for those who, like me, grew up with television, perhaps you will remember this amazing show called Perfecto, that was presented on this channel called Music Plus. That was at the beginning of the music video. And it was during these interviews with big personalities, celebrities, mostly from the fashion world, that I discovered Stéphane. And Stéphane is the guest curator of Parachute, really a must-see exhibition. This is why I'm inviting him today to really talk about it, but we'll talk about, you know, his profession and what he's doing as well. But I really want to talk about Parachute because this is an amazing brand and there is an exhibition at the museum. I hope that when you will be listening to this podcast, the exhibition is going to be still presented at the McCord Museum. It's a Montreal museum. It's a perfect occasion for you guys, if you don't know Montreal, to come. And Parachute is... it's called the subversive fashion of the 80s, but you'll see, we'll talk about it in depth. It's a very, very, a trailblazer from the 80s, but they invented almost everything that seems so normal today. So we'll talk about it a little in depth. So Musée McCord, Parachute, don't miss this exhibition. So thank you, Stéphane, for agreeing to join me today. And as you know, I love to present my guests and take my time. So I want the listeners to get to know them a little better. And before we talk about Parachute, I always ask my guests this first question. So who is Stéphane Leduc?
It's fun to answer that question, which is not that easy. But I think what I could say is that I've always been very curious of things around me, to look at them, to observe. And the most important for me was always to talk about it, to make a resume, to explain what I've seen, and also to enjoy the whole process of, after observing what happened, to make an interesting resume of what happened, the situation. And that was a challenge for me, but I loved all the time, I think. So curiosity and a storyteller. Yeah, that's what I could say.
That's so interesting.
That defines me
I love asking that question because I learn always something that I don't know from my guests. And you and I, well, we're not very close friends, let's say, but we've known each other for so many years. So mm-hmm. I love asking that question. So tell me, before we start talking about Parachute, how do you think, I want to talk about your profession as a fashion journalist. It's changed so much. So I wanted to hear you about your profession today. How has it evolved?
Yes, it's quite fascinating. The information goes so fast nowadays, and the presence of the social media has changed so many things, and the digital aspect of it also. Before, you would take the time either to write or to film an event, and then you would make the editing, and then you would send it to the channel. Now it's different. You see it, you have to comment on it, you have to show your feelings about a collection. And there are good sides of it because you can also have access to more material. But at the same time, sometimes I feel it's too short. We don't have either the time to really think about it, but also the space to write and to put all the informations that would be very helpful in some cases. Because sometimes you can have a feeling or an instinct about something, but sometimes if you don't know the history, if you don't know the background of a brand, you can make a judgment that is totally opposite of what you really think because you didn't know about the references that the designer is making in that story. Of course, not everybody is interested by that, but I think sometimes it's missing. So we have to see how it's going to evolve. I think people are looking for two things also. Through the podcast, we can talk more longer and spend more time on a subject, which is a great thing. And there are also many books and exhibitions that do exist now about fashion. So that's one of the good things. It shows that people are interested as well, because every exhibit that is presented about fashion usually is a huge success. So that's one of the great news. But on the other side, many things are more superficial. So we have to find the right balance. There will probably be a new medium eventually that will combine all those things.
Yeah, most probably. It's crazy how quickly it goes. And I just want to tell our listeners, because some of you might think that journalism is disappearing and there's no more real journalists, you know, with all the stories about the fake news. But I just want to say that they still exist, right? And you're one of them. And I think it's a profession that's more important than ever because of that, because you're able to, this is the analysis behind what you see. And unfortunately, there's less and less specialists as we used to see. Not so long ago, newspaper had a dance journalist, a theater journalist, an exhibition journalist. They had like all those journalists that were really specialized. So now there's kind of a little confusion sometimes in different genre. But, you know, the fact that you are so specialized in fashion makes you extremely in my and even in my world in PR very, very highly important because of that, because of the knowledge you have. And I know what you have a value when you analyze something and see something. But yeah, it's sometimes, you know, it's there. I know that some, you know, the Musique Plus of this world don't exist anymore, unfortunately. And so you have to find new channels. But I'm sure, yeah, the podcast, and I know you're doing many, you're invited by some Canadian important networks and all that. But yeah, I just want to say that to the listeners, because some of them, I hear that, some of our clients, but there's no more journalists. No. They still exist and they are extremely important. Know that.
Yeah, and I hope they will stay. We need them more than ever, I think.
I think so too. So that's my little parenthesis about journalism. But let's talk about Parachute, because, oh my God, I saw the exhibition. I loved it. You did an amazing work, Stéphane. Congratulations. And I went to see it with some of my young employees, young women, you know, in their 20s. And it was so much fun. I was delighted to see them impressed and commenting the exhibition. And all of them say, oh my God, this is beautiful. I could wear it today. Oh, wow, I didn't know this brand. And oh, I can't believe I'm seeing, Madonna and all those stars wearing Parachute. So what happened to Parachute? So it's great that they have access to this part of of our history, actually. So tell me, how did you create this exhibition? And tell us about the story of Parachute.
It was very exciting to do something about that brand, because I discovered them when I was a student at the university, not knowing I would become a journalist in fashion. So for me, when I was approached by Nicola, one of the co-founder, Nicola, she had many archives, and she developed Parachute with her husband, Harry Parnas, which was an architect. So they had really a vision of a new kind of clothing that was more modern, more provocative, non-gender also, which was really, really new in the 80s, that there would be no section for men or women in a store. That was unbelievable. It was only for them a question of size, and to present the clothing more like an art gallery also, to have the feeling that you would be in an environment which you would have fun, that would be also challenging you with things you had never seen before. So all that, I wanted to recreate that in an exhibition, which was quite a challenge. But at the end, I think we were able to do it. And also with what was important, there are things we must not forget also. Sometimes we think that this all the things that we see in fashion were created that day. There's a lot of reference in the past, and mostly the 80s are very strong, and the 90s are really present in the fashion right now. And that exhibition mm-hmm. proves it. So when you see the jumpsuit, when you see the big shoulders, when you see the fabrics, because they use very simple fabrics like cotton, linen a little bit, and wool, very basic fabrics, which is most of the fabrics that people work with now. So they had this vision of a more sporty kind of luxury clothing that you would love to wear and be more extravagant with it.
Yeah.
So
it's
those
amazing.
Things,
they were like real visionary, these people. I'm amazed when I look at everything. I knew the brand, but you mm-hmm. know, when you lived it, it's like revisiting it with,
yes.
you know, with like moving to the future and then looking at what they've done. It's crazy. Like they created, as you said, you know, this experience shopping that, you know, every brand's trying to create right now. And they were so, so ahead of their time, I find.
Mm. And also the idea of being in Montreal, but the idea of going to New York City in Soho, where there was no fashion at the time. Soho was only a place for a factory, and there were some artists living in that area, and they had no money, those people. Andy Warhol with the factory was very close, and he loved Parachute. He was one of the first customers, and he would go all the time because he would love the feeling of that place, which was full of talents and interesting people to see and meet. So when they went there, it was already a choice that was unusual and very provocative, and they would really create an art gallery in that space, which was humongous. And they had the best music as well, because they would have special remixes of the songs that they would get before anybody else. And there were no mirrors when you see the changing rooms. So you would go on a podium to try out the clothing, which was totally such an audacity. That's why the people would sit in the store and watch the other people trying on the clothing. So all that was creating an experience by itself.
Yeah, and you think that today it seems like so obvious, because mm-hmm. any stars or any personality has their own, let's say, stylist or personal shoppers. But in those days, it wasn't the case. That wasn't as organized as it is today. So what was the fact that they were not dressing up, actually? They were coming to them. So mm-hmm. they had these amazing stars, as we would call them today, ambassadors, but
yes.
we weren't naming even the personalities like that in those days. But do you think that having these personalities and singers wearing their clothes had a huge impact on the brand?
Oh, yes, totally. The first customer, in fact, in New York City was Cher, which is very interesting to know, because Cher doesn't appear to wear that style, but she would buy it for herself. And she came in and she bought the whole store almost. She became a faithful customer. But then there's also those big singers of the time. Madonna, a young Madonna came in, and Peter Gabriel would buy a lot of clothing. And there's also this, the people from the cinema would come as well, because New York City has always been a place where people would go through and they would like to know what's happening, what are the trends. And they would know when they go there that they would find pieces that nobody would wear, because they didn't produce 1,000 copies of the same clothing. So that's why it was considered a kind of luxury brand, different from Chanel and Dior, but in their own way, a luxury brand. That's why they expand after that in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Chicago and then Japan, because the Japanese customer was a big, big customer for them. And then Europe was also very important for Parachute. So the whole world was interested by the style, by the experience you would live in the store.
It seems so almost natural today, a brand that has success. It seems like something normal to expand in New York, in LA, or elsewhere in the world. But they were probably one of the first Canadian brands to do so and to become so global at a time where it was even not a trend to do that, right?
Yeah, and recognizing really the videos, also the music videos became such a powerful instrument for the brands. Those Duran Duran, those videos of the Rolling Stones as well, the Madonna video for sure. All those people, just, and even Michael Jackson wearing a leather jacket that has been on the cover of so many magazines and on the cover of many albums. We do have that vest in the exhibition. So that's quite amazing to see the impact and how interested the celebrities were of that brand, but it's themselves. It was not their stylist that loved the brand. So that was a real connection.
This is why it's so interesting. It's interesting to see that, you know, they were creative in their music, but they were also looking to wear something that matches their soul, their creative soul. And I know my employees were so impressed. Oh my God, Michael Jackson was wearing Parachute. Like, this is crazy. How come we don't know that? So this is why I think your work is so important to keep this part of our history. And talking about history, do you think there's any fashion designer right now that would be, let's say, the heirs of a Parachute in Canada? Do you see anyone that really, like, I don't know, would inherit what they've done?
I think there is. There are some. I feel that the new generation of designers are totally in the spirit of being outside Canada, which is great. And when I think of that young brand called Racine, which does shoes, amazing shoes, and it's a 3D print shoe, and it's made to measure, and it's quite amazing, very modern and provocative and very futuristic. They make many shoes for Lil Nas X, which is this singer that won the Grammys and is very successful right now. So it's totally the spirit of Parachute. But I would think also of somebody like Rad Ourani. Rad is somebody that is totally in the spirit of Parachute because of the architecture of the clothing, because of the non-gender clothing that he's making. His unisex collection is totally the spirit of Parachute. I'm sure when he was a kid, he really probably knew a little bit about the brand, and then it kept in the back of his mind. And then he created his own brand, which is very interesting. And I'm happy to see that there are some people that learn from the experience of Parachute as well. And I hope the exhibit will bring that also, will inspire these people that didn't know anything about Parachute. It's wonderful that they don't know, because it's proving that we were right, that we should have done an exhibit.
Yeah, we should pay sometimes a bit of attention of what was done before us, before we arrived in the world, right?
Yes.
We can find some amazing inspiration from the past for sure. Oh my God. And this is, I'm because it's such a beautiful exhibition. I was wondering, I'm sure you had to make some choices. So you mentioned that many things that people can see in the exhibition. So we have to repeat it. You have to go see that exhibition. There are many clothes that were worn by stars. There's even some videos and some amazing pictures. But I'm sure you had to make some heartbreaking choices.
It is the challenge, and it is heartbreaking sometimes to make those choices, because you would like to show a whole collection or the different style through a same idea that can be developed. So, but you have to take one out of 10. That's the challenge that we had because of the space, because of the rules in museums that you have to respect, because people cannot touch the clothing, so you have to keep a distance. All those things, that's the things I've learned through this curating, which is interesting, but it is a challenge. And we have also many great pictures because we had those young photographers that started their business with Parachute, and those people like Mario Testino, Steven Meisel, but also many young Quebecers that have a lot of talent, Serge Barbeau, Rodolphe Noël, Jean-Claude Lussier, which those people still work today, but they were 20 years old, 25 maximum when they started with Parachute. So we had many pictures of their work, but we had to be very selective. And the same for the videos and the music that we could present in that exhibit. So at least we know we could do more exhibit, which is good news. And if we do a bigger one day, we could have the material to do it.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to tour? Do you think that other museums will ask for the exhibition?
Let's hope so, yeah. Because I do get a lot of messages through Instagram from people that would like to be in Montreal and visit some people from Stockholm, from Europe, from England, from LA that are writing to me. And I don't know those people. They just saw that I posted some pictures and they reacted right away. And they have ordered different things from the museum. But I'm sure those people and many other ones would love to see it. So let's hope so that the museum will be able to convince that the importance, because sometimes maybe people say, oh, do people remember Parachute? But I think they do, or they will discover. I think it should be what a museum is for, is to help people to remember also.
Yeah, because it's so now, it's crazy. Yes. When you look at those clothes, and as you mentioned, you know, the 80s, the 90s are really part of the trends today. And this is so interesting to see that some other brands really were using this kind of signature. And it's so interesting. They were so ahead of their time. I really like in the exhibition that they even created something that seemed obvious today, which is a collection for kids. Mm-hmm. We find it normal now to see kids wearing jeans, like even young babies sometimes wearing adult version for them. But back in those days, that didn't even exist. So you had to really create those clothes yourself, or otherwise you would end up with the little dresses, you know, the pink and the blue was what you would find for kids. But when you see that they had this collection, like kind of a small version of what any adults could wear at Parachute, I'm like, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I didn't know that. So it was so interesting.
Yeah, Nicola had two kids.
Just an example.
And, she was looking for black clothing for kids. There was none at all. So she said, let's design some for my kids in black, which would be very practical. But also because she didn't think a girl should wear, because she first had a girl, that a girl should wear pink. So that's also, that was in her mind.
This is so in the trend today. This is why it's amazing. You
it
have to go see this exhibition, my friends.
to think that it was different at the time, because it's not that far ago, but it's very far somehow.
I know. That's so interesting. So this is why it's a must exhibition for all everything you're going to discover. There's so much. We could talk about it for hours. But I just, now that I have you with me, I wanted to hear you a little bit about, so what do you think, because of course, with the pandemic now, everybody's obsessed with the web. So what do you see that's emerging? What are the trends that you see maybe in fashion?
I see that the brands, they do know how to use this social media in an amazing way, that's for sure. And we see it through the fashion weeks, which are happening right now, that the access we have is amazing because of the COVID. We cannot travel, and so we have access very quickly to all the fashion shows, which was not possible. Not even, it was accessible the past few years, but not as much as now. Now you can see the whole show right away live on your Instagram account, which is amazing somehow. People do see what we used to see alone, and then we would select. So people now can select themselves. So it's good for a brand to know what people prefer, but sometimes probably they are more careful in what they do, knowing it will be right away on the net and they could be criticized. That's the challenge also for the big brands right now, not being criticized. It's quite a challenge because we see and we know.
It must be.
It's not only the people, but the brands are very criticized very often. So they have to be very careful. That's one of the dangers. You take less risks sometimes because of that. But as a journalist from outside, when you cannot travel, it's great. The thing is that you have to publish very quickly without thinking a long time about it. So that's a challenge I find for me. Even though I love the fact I can see it and I can comment right away and find the information that I need, but the depth information is not there. So that's where you have to find the right timing and the right balance. That's why I use for myself mostly to promote what I do. That's the way I use the social media to talk about either the exhibit, for example, and to to give some advice, or not advice, but the infos that I get directly, either from the other curator, either from the scenographer, or even the people that worked on the book, because there's a book about Parachute that is amazing, that is in a metal box. It's really a design object that has been made by Willow Perron, that lives in LA, that is a big star in the design field. So those things I can comment and give information to people.
And for those who want, we can order it online, if they don't have
exactly.
it at the museum.
It's okay, good. The best way, because there's none left at the museum, which is good on one side, but go on the web, you will find it. It's quite amazing. It's an art piece that will become a collector, I am sure.
No, for sure, for sure. So hopefully this exhibition is going to tour, because Montreal has been renowned to create some amazing fashion exhibition. But with the Musée des Beaux-Arts, you know, the Museum of Fine Art, which has more, I guess, international links, and the Musée Mécord has to build that. So hopefully New York and some other cities elsewhere in the world will say, hey, we'd like to show mm-hmm. this exhibition. That would be amazing. And I'd like to hear you too. Now there was... been talking about the web and what's happening. Would you like to share with us what your best practices online?
Well, as I mentioned, it's probably the way to find a best way. But right now, I'm happy to show the things that I've done, or the collaboration that I do, and to promote those things. The best I can. I tend to put the things that I've been really living and not just observing. So the risk I should take probably is to comment, and since I've been in fashion for a while now, that I could easily take some pictures of the shows and comment and leave my impression, because I have very often met the designer themselves. I know their philosophy, their approach, and so I can add and have a good perspective on that subject. That's probably where I should tend to go, because right now I tend to go, if I go see an exhibit, if I see something directly in my life that is related to the subject, I will tend to comment and not go further than that. So I think I should risk more on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, because you know you have such a wide knowledge. Like as you said, when I ask you the first questions, you like to tell stories of what happened before. So you could comment based on everything you've seen in the past. So that could be very rich and interesting. I want you to do that. I would follow you. Would be one of your followers for sure. And so before we wrap up, how do we find you? So I'm going to put the links, obviously, mm-hmm. but is LinkedIn the best place to LinkedIn, Instagram?
Yes.
This is where we
yes,
find you if people want to hire you.
Way, or? Exactly. LinkedIn
so
is always interesting.
All those links are always, yeah.
But Instagram is great, because I come from the image, so the image is interesting to share. I'm very careful with the pictures I put on.
Wonderful. So the links are going to be besides the episode for sure, as for the exhibition too with the Musée Mécord. And so to wrap up, so what can we wish you in the coming, I don't know, short term, long term?
Yes. Well, the thing I like the most is meeting people and do interviews and exchange with people I find creative and audacious. And I had the chance to meet Thierry Mugler before he passed away. So, and there are so many people I would like still to meet. So that's one of the things I would like to have as a gift, is to meet those creative people, because I don't want to miss those people, because they're not here for eternity. And we had the same feeling with Virgil Abloh, that died too young. So there are those people like Alessandro Michele from Gucci, which is so creative, and he seems a very funny guy, but he has such great ideas, I think. I never met Tom Ford. That would be an interesting challenge that I would like to have. But also Anthony Vaccarello, that works at Saint-Laurent, and Nicolas Ghesquière, he works at Louis Vuitton. And I think this guy is somebody we don't hear much about. And I'm sure there are many things he'd like to communicate, and I'm sure he would be very inspiring for me. So those are the things I'd like to do.
Oh, That would be so interesting. I want you to do that, Stefan. You have to start your podcast right away.
Yes, good idea.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. And so don't miss this amazing exhibition at Musée Mécordes. And I hope you really enjoyed this podcast and that it's been a little, oasis in your day where you stop and listen to other people talking, just like our conversation that I had with Stéphane Leduc. And I hope it inspires you and help you sometimes, you know, find new ideas for your own company, your own business. And I hope you'll be joining me next week. À la semaine prochaine. Hey, you want to learn more about how to implement PR strategies? Head on to natapr.com and get on our list. You will also receive the Nada PR model on how to create a successful PR campaign. If you want to become a client, just send us an email to nada@natapr.com. Talk to you next week. À la semaine prochaine.